If you want to take your Bibles and go to 1 Thessalonians, that's where we're going to start. If I was going to title this tonight, I would title, Give It Up to God. Give It Up to God. In 1 Thessalonians, last night, we closed out Fellow Labors and it was really sweet. I taught on prayer, and I thought tonight I would continue with some things on prayer. I just love the subject. I think it's perhaps the most beneficial thing any of us could do to help other people is to pray for them. And so tonight we're going to give it up to Him. It says in verse 17 of chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, it says, pray without ceasing. And that means without intermission. You just pray. That's one of the greatest things that any of us could ever do for anybody is to pray. It's the greatest thing we can do for ourselves is to pray. And here in Thessalonians, which is a doctrinal epistle, it says pray without ceasing, without intermission. It means, ceasing means something that's constant. It continues to go. And God desires for us as His kids to pray consistently, constantly, without ceasing. And it's something you can do at school. It's something you can do at work. It's something you can do at home. It's something you can do when you wake up in the morning. It's something you can do right before you go to bed. It's something you can do all the time. That's why God says do it. Yeah, that's pretty cool. And pray, just this word particular, pray is the word prosukomai. And it means to speak out loud, to talk, to utter, to believe, to pray to God, to ask for things, to talk things over with God. It's like that song I wrote, you know, I'd like to talk it over with you because you're always there. Shannon's not always here. I can't talk everything over with her all the time. I can't talk things over with Estelle. She wouldn't listen. I can't talk, you know, God is always listening and He's always there and He's always wanting to help us. In Webster's dictionary, this word prayer, Noah Webster, he said the primary sense is to throw or to pour out. Throw it to God. It's like throwing a ball. You don't have it anymore. You just throw it. When you throw it, you don't have it anymore. That's what God wants us to do when we pray. It's like pouring a glass of water out. Just get rid of it. And believing, of course, is involved with this in a very, very big way. In Matthew 21, believing is certainly involved with prayer. It says in verse 22 of Matthew 21, it says, and all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believe and you shall receive. Believe and you shall receive. You know, it doesn't say, one thing it says in God's word that pleases God is believing. In Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6, go there. Don't let me work all the time. Do something. Let's move. Let your fingers do the walking. Sunday was Pentecost, as you might know, and it was a great day. There was over 200 believers gathered together, hearing God's word. Tim Gilmore taught it, taught on the beauty of the one body, and it was just a tremendous time. I wasn't there, I was home, but a lot of people came and visited me after, so that was kind of nice. But I did see it on Blue Jeans, so that was nice. It was a great, great day, great gathering of God's people, lots of good food. Lots of great fellowship. Verse 6 says, but without believing, it's impossible to please God. Well, if we want to please God, then the greatest way we could do, thing we could do is to believe. Believe His word. And then it goes further. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is. You know, if you go to God, you got to believe you're not talking to air, but you're talking to God. And that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Everybody who comes to God, and the word cometh means to approach. And in this context, to approach God via prayer. Whoever comes to God approaches God by way of prayer. We just got to believe we're approaching God and that we're not talking into the universe and that he exists. And then it says he rewards those that diligently seek him. He's a rewarder of those who diligently. Diligent means you stay at it. You stay at it. You stay at it. It's a great, great thing. I thought of this tonight in light of the manifestations that we heard. Look at 1 John, is it? 1 Peter, chapter 5. What a great privilege we have to be able to talk things over with God consistently. The creator of the heavens and the earth. We get to talk to him, and he gets to talk back to us. He gets to help us, and he gets blessed doing it. Chapter 5 of 1 Peter, in verse 7, it says, casting all your cares upon him, care upon him, for he careth for you. And this word casting is really cool. It's kind of like the same thing that praying means. Casting means to throw or to place upon. Casting means to give something up, to throw off or to throw away. In this case, God wants us to throw our undue concerns to him. All our undue, all our cares, all our concerns, our unnecessary concerns to him. He wants to take everything. He wants us to take it. He wants us to give it to him. He wants to take it so he can help us. And these things are all involved when we pray. If we're really locked in our prayer life, that's what he wants. We got to believe and we got to know that he's there constantly, that he's always right there, taking care of us, ready to help us. He never gives us, it's not like calling AT&T or calling American Express or calling somebody else where you have to wait 3.5 hours before you get a human being, and then another 3.5 hours before you can understand a human being. He's not like that. He is not like that. We believe and we know that he's there, waiting and willing and wanting to help us more than we even want the help. He wants us to know that he exists. He wants us to throw all our cares, all our worries, all our over concerns to him, knowing that he careth for you. You know what the word careth there means? It means that you're the object of his interest. You're the one he cares for. And I know there's a million, zillion people, but God has that ability to take each one of those, and when he does, you're the object of his interest. You're the one he wants to take care of. It's as if you're the only person in the world. And his concern for you is that way. Like you're the only one. That's how much he cares for us. He wants us to give things to him. He focuses. He's not like us. He focuses. He focuses. 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 That's a good one. He focuses on your prayer. He focuses on our hearts. He focuses on the things that we have undue concern about. And he clicks. He wants to help. Let him. He completely pays attention to you when you pray. He's not like people. Where, somebody's talking, droning on and on, and you're going, oh, yeah. And meanwhile, you're thinking about the grocery shopping. He pays absolute attention to us. Here's some things I wrote down. Prayer is also to ask with your heart. It's like asking a favor of someone or something you desire, but it's got to line up with God's word, I don't want 5 wives. No way. I got one great one. Can you imagine how awful that would be?
I was just thinking about that, like, oh my God, 5 wives, that'd be horrible.
Yeah, especially if you're a man. It's to talk things over with God. It's to address God with respect and love. Yeah. You know, I think that that's something that we could all get a little better at, is our respect and our awe of God. Sometimes I think we use God as like a convenience store. Like when we're in trouble, then we go to God. But man, his power and his presence are with us all the time. And we should take note of the awesome respect we should have for him. If I met the President of the United States, I would be in awe. I would respect him for the office that he holds. And I don't care who the president would be. And I don't care what anybody would think about him. It would be a big deal to meet the President of the United States. And what about God, though? He made the President of the United States. I don't know about this president, but he made it available for people to be alive. He was the creator of the heavens and the earth. He put the stars in their courses. We should have great respect when we go to God. It's really a big deal. We have great respect and we have great love to have specific requests with thanksgiving. Prayer is an expression of how great God is. And we also have the privilege of going to God on the behalf of other people. Like we did tonight. You know, Joe prayed for Tomiso, or whatever you pronounce his name. But God knows he has a kidney and he needs healing. So we have the privilege of going to God on the behalf of other people too. And it works. Thanking him also for all the things that he's done for us. Having an attitude of gratitude, you can't be negative. When you're thankful, you can't be negative. You know that? When you're negative, you're negative. When you're thankful, you're thankful. But it's great to have an attitude of gratitude all the time. It's all these things and more. Now here's some quotes from E.W. Kenyon that he talked about prayer. If you've never read the book In His Presence, I highly recommend it. It's a tremendous piece of work. Perhaps the greatest book on prayer ever written. Where he's off of the word, it's very easy to know. So that's kind of fun. Some of these intellectual guys like Bullinger, you can't even tell. You know. But with Kenyon, you can tell. And what a heart for God. And some of the things that he wrote about prayer are just unequaled. I've never seen anything like it anywhere. The call to prayer is the Father's invitation to visit him. Isn't that great? Prayer is us visiting with our daddy. Prayer is our need, crying out for help. That's a good one. Prayer is the living word on the lips of believing. Prayer is asking God to do what he said he would do. Wow. Isn't that cool? We see something in the word. We know that it's the word. And so we ask God to do what he already says he's going to do. I love that. Prayer is fellowship with the Father. Prayer illuminates the Word of God and illuminates the mind. And boy, sometimes when you pray, you start thinking more clearly than you were before you started. Your brain gets cleansed out. Your brain cells. There used to be a guy in California who used to pray for his brain cells every time he prayed. But prayer is like that. It helps you think more clearly. Prayer freshens and heals the body. It freshens and heals the body. So you got problems with health? Well, pray. Pray with believing. It's going to freshen you up. I like that. Yeah. Prayer is to see it. To see a need is to have a call to pray. Boy, you see somebody who has a need, pray. Out on the street, you see somebody who has a need, you pray. Pray for them, even if you don't know them, even if you've never talked to them. I have a mental prayer game that I've had since I got in the Word when I was 18. Every time I hear a siren, I pray. And I pray in tongues. I speak in tongues. I piss. Pray in spirit. So I pray when I hear a siren. When I see a red light, I pray. What else? I have these. Oh, when I think of you, I pray. That's a great thing to do with your mind, to pray. To see a need is to have a call to pray. The only two ways to get to know God is by his word or by prayer. Well, how else do you get to know him? His word, meaning his written word, as well as his revealed word. And prayer. How else do you get to know God? You don't get to know God by looking at the stars. You appreciate God, maybe, but you don't get to know him. Prayer is a call of love to come and fellowship with him. It's a call of love to come and fellowship with him. Come on, guys, fellowship with me, your dad. I love you, you know? Prayer is like a child talking to his daddy, if they have a good daddy. We've been given an invitation to the presentation of our hearts to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. An invitation to the presentation of our hearts to the Creator of the heavens and the earth. When we pray, we're participants and recipients of God's love and goodness. Wow, just think of that. We're participants and recipients of God's love and his goodness. And prayer is being thankful to God for so many things. Prayer is one way of constantly helping people. You want to help me? Pray for me. If I want to help you, pray for you, you know. You know, and we shouldn't wait. We shouldn't be retarded in our minds concerning things. Like Shannon said, she had a headache, so why wait? Let's pray, you know. Pray, boom. Hey. We need to pray for each other, man. That's how you help people. Prayer is a great way to serve the body of Christ. And prayer is the greatest way to prepare for anything. I wrote a poem once. It's really great. I can't remember it all, but it was, prepare with prayer. If you say you care, you don't need nair. You're shaped by grace. Something like that. Anyway. It's the best way I know to prepare for things. We invite God to help us in all our ways and all our doings. You know, when you do that, you're not going to go goofy. If you're thinking about God all the time, you're not going to stray and go crazy, because you know what God wants for your life, and what he wants for our lives is the best things. We seek God's counsel first. And we do that by prayer. And we do that by going to the Word. What does God's Word say? Who does it say that David was? He was a man after what?
God's own heart.
Yeah. So in Psalm 25, we'll read it. Is a great example as to why David was a man after God's own heart. It's a tremendous psalm here. Albert, why don't you read the first five verses, Diane the second five. Yeah, you guys are going to work. Yeah, Tim, the third five verses. Yeah, should have had them. Can you read your Bible?
Yeah.
Well, then why do you need your glasses?
That's
strained. Strained, okay. So, Albert, read the first five verses there while Diane gets her glasses.
All right. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth, and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day.
10.
Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies.
Randy.
For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, for he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net.
Dorsey?
Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with a cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee.
Shannon.
Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Should I continue?
No, that's great. So in verse, you can see by reading that what a heart David had. And that he went to God with everything. When it was good, when it was bad, when he was good, when he was bad, he went to God. Look at verse 1 again. Unto me, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. And that means his life, his breath life. That's the word nephesh. His soul life, his breath life, his desire, his emotion, his passion. He gave it to God. He lifted up his whole life, his whole soul, his breath life to God. Verse 2, it says, oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let me, mine enemies triumph over me. Let them not triumph over me. To trust means to put confidence in, to be bold, to feel safe. That's who God, David trusted God. He was bold to go to God. He was confident in God's ability. He was bold to go to him. He felt safe. It's like when you go to your very, very closest friend. You can just pour your guts out to him. That's what David did with God. Verse 3. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Let none that wait on thee be ashamed. That means you're not embarrassed. You're not ashamed. You're not embarrassed to go to God. One reason people don't move the word is because they're embarrassed of God. If you get right down to it, they're afraid of what other people think. They deem that more important than what God thinks. I'm not embarrassed to share God's word. I'm proud to share God's word. That time I was in the hospital just recently, that's all I did was share God's word with everybody, and I was hurting. But so what? It's still the word. It's the word. It's always the word. When you're good, when you're bad, when you're healthy, when you're not. He was not ashamed to go to God. And then it says, let none that wait on thee. Wait means to look for, to expect, to wait or to eagerly look for something, to wait or to linger for something. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Transgress means just, it's an act of treacherous, being treacherous or deceitful. Verse 4 says, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Thy ways means thy direction. Show me the direction with which I should go. Show me the journey with which I should go on. Show me the road. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding in all thy ways, not some, all thy ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your what? That's it, this word path. This word ways, rather, is the road, the direction. And then it says, teach me thy paths. And that means the way of living. It's a way of living. Show me how to live greater. Show me how to live greater. Man, what a cool thing. Verse 5, it says, lead me to thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Lead me. Lead me. The word lead means to lead. Lead me in thy truth And the word truth is thy, it means firmness, faithfulness, sureness, reliability, or stability. Teach me in thy firmness, thy faithfulness, thy sureness, thy reliability, thy stability. And that says, teach. Teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. Which is, salvation is deliverance, welfare, prosperity, victory, or wholeness. On thee do I wait all the day. Meaning all the time. I'm waiting on God all the time. What's next, Father? What's next? You know, what's next? It's so awesome to do. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindness, for they have ever been of old. Remember, it means to recall, bring back to your remembrance. He's asking God to bring back to his remembrance his tender mercies. And God, don't we need tender mercies? You know, this is compassion. Compassion. And that's used 30 times. It's a great word. Tender mercies. And thy loving kindness. Loving kindness is goodness. It's kindness. It's mercy. Goodness, kindness, and mercy. This is what God, David is asking God. You talk about a relationship. He's asking him to remember these things. For they have been ever of old. Ever of old means a long, long time. Everlasting, evermore, perpetual. Verse 7 says, remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions according to thy mercy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Yeah. That's a great, great verse. Recall to mind. From time of his youth, his early life, God's goodness, which means his fairness, his beauty, his joy. Remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, for the joy of your heart, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. And he still is. He's good. He's good. Which means he's pleasant. He's agreeable. And upright he is. He's straight. He's right on. He's pleasing. He's proper. He's righteous. And then he says, teach sinners in the way. Teach means to direct. And you know, God has entrusted you and I with the ministry of reconciliation, whereby we can reconcile man back to God who was dead in their trespasses and sins, without hope and without God in this world. God has entrusted you and me to be able to speak God's word, to help people get back to God. Man, that's quite a privilege. If you think of the privilege and responsibility that he's laid in our hands to help people, to direct people in his way, boy, it's great. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies, verse 10. Mercy is goodness and kindness, just like before, and truth is reliability, stability. Yeah. And keep his covenant. Keep is someone who watches over, who guards all outside enemies from coming in. It's like a watchman in the Old Testament. And he says here, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. It's fantastic. His covenant is a pledge. It's a treaty. It's a trust. It's an alliance between God and man. And every time God promises something to his kids, it's a trust. He backs it up. A bank's supposed to back up the money that they say you have in the bank. Well, God is to be entrusted all the way. For thy name's sake, O Lord, verse 11, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. David wasn't perfect. He asked God to forgive him. Pardon means to forgive. Yeah. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity. You know, the word iniquity means perversity. It means depravity. It means guilt. David had some problems, evidently, as does every human being. And David was not afraid to share his heart with God. He wasn't trying to hide his sins. He knew God knew what they were, and he's asking him to help him, pardon, forgive him. For it is great. It's great. His sins were great. Great sins. That word great just means many or much. Well, how could he be a man after God's heart then? Well, look at what we're reading. That should tell you right there how come he's a man after God's own heart. He gave it all to God. That's how come. What man, verse 12, is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he be, he teach in the way that he shall choose. What man is he that feareth the Lord, respects the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way and he shall, that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord, verse 14, is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The secret of the Lord. The secret is like secret counsels, intimacy with God. You know, I think of the manifestations of word of knowledge and word of wisdom and how that all works. How God's spirit teaches this creation in you, which is now your spirit teaches your mind, it becomes manifest in the senses realm as you act. And I think about word of knowledge, him being able to counsel you with things that are humanly impossible for you by your five senses to even know them. It's so cool. That's a really cool word there. Secret. Intimacy with God. Secret counsel. And that he would show them his covenant. Or tell, or declare to the end that you know. Verse 15, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. They're all my eyes. It indicates a person's heart. His heart. His heart. Man, oh man. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord. His heart was always toward the Lord. Or ever means continually. And a net is a trap. A trap. Get your feet out of the net, out of the trap. And in order to be a good trap, it has to have good bait. And it has to have tremendous camouflage. Because half the time when we get trapped, or more than half the time, we don't know we're getting trapped. And this is what God will help prevent us from falling into that trap if we just go to him. Verse 16, turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I'm desolate and afflicted. Turn toward me, could read. Mercy is to be gracious and show favor. Desolate means the only one. It's unique. Afflicted means lowly, humble, weak, afflicted, wretched. Boy, my eyes are ever toward thee. He'll pluck thee out of the net. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. David was not a braggadocious dude who thought his poop didn't stink. David wasn't somebody who thought, well, I'm the king. I don't ever sin. You need to serve me, blah, blah, blah. No, he was honest. He was honest, and that's why God blessed him so much. He was honest to God. You know, tremendous attribute. Verse 17, the troubles of my heart are enlarged. Oh, bring thou me out of my distresses. The troubles of distress, the stress in his heart, his life, were enlarged. They grew. And the distresses means the straits or the stress. He had a lot of stress. He had a lot of distresses. He had a lot of troubles in his life. Yet God delivered him. God helped him. God took care of him. We live in a world. What was that one Joe Knight teaching? It's no secret, or his fellowship coordinators.
Don't be surprised.
Yeah. And the whole teaching was about the world hating you and you having tribulation and everything else. But God delivers, see? That's the thing. God delivers. Verse 19. What? Huh?
Consider my enemies.
Yeah.
All those troubles.
Yeah, consider my enemies, for they're a lot. And they hate me with a cruel hatred. Consider means to look at, you know, take a look at. Cruel hatred means violence, cruelty, injustice, wrongdoing. Well, the next time you think you had it bad, or have it bad, think of people like David, people like Paul, people, man, who stood. They stood. They didn't falter because of circumstances. They didn't falter because they got beat. They didn't falter because they got hurt. They stood, and God continued to deliver them. Verse 20, it says, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Preserve means to protect and watch over and guard. And redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. You know, we're participants and recipients. We've been given an invitation to the presentation of our hearts to Him. In the New Testament, in Matthew 21:22, Jesus exhorts us that whatever we pray, we believe when we pray. In Mark 1:5, it shows Jesus Christ going to a solitary place and praying first thing in the morning. He went someplace where he could be quiet. In Luke, Jesus Christ exhorted people, Luke 18:1, he exhorted people to pray and not faint. So oftentimes you faint before the deliverance is there. You give up. You give up. Don't give up. In John 17:17, when Jesus Christ was praying, he prayed to God to sanctify them through God's word. And also for those in the future who would be sanctified, like you and me. In Acts 4:29-31, they prayed for more boldness to speak God's word. And the place they were assembled was shaken, or it moved, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. In Romans 1:8, God thanked God for their believing that it could be spoken of throughout the entire world. In 1 Corinthians 1:4-5, Paul prayed that they could be enriched in all utterance and knowledge. In Ephesians 1, Paul prays that God would give them wisdom and revelation, and that the eyes of their understanding would be lit up, and that they would know the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to those who believed. Ephesians 3, Paul prays that they could be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ would saturate their hearts and be rooted and grounded in love, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses all knowledge, and to be filled with all the fullness of God, and that God would be able to do exceeding abundantly above anything anybody could ever ask or think according to that power. In Philippians, Paul and Timothy pray that their love could abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. These are tremendous verses. Colossians 1:9, Paul and Timothy prayed that they could be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, and that they could walk worthy of the Lord in all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and every good word, increasing in the knowledge of God, and strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. In Thessalonians, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy thank God always for them all, that they could remember, that they remembered their work of faith, their labor of love, and their patience of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Psalm chapter 6. So there's sure a lot in the Word of God about prayer, isn't there? Yes, is the answer. There sure is. Psalm 6. And in verse 9, it says, "The Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer." So we pour our hearts out to God. We throw everything up to Him. We cast all our care on Him, knowing He cares for us. And He said it tonight in Manifestations, which I thought was nice. We ask for specific things for ourselves and for others. We're thankful to God for something. We speak in tongues. We make intercession for the saints by speaking in tongues, knowing that it's perfect prayer and that it's profitable for a whole lot. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, again, it says, "Pray without ceasing." I mean, you can see in God's word why He exhorts us to pray without intermission. You can see why He does that. You can see why He asks us to cast our cares on Him. You can see all that. We have so many things to talk over with God. We too frequently want to talk over things with everybody else. The best one to talk it over with is God. And we have so much to be thankful for. And the more we look at the Word of God, and we see all the things that God has freely given to us, the more thankful we can become. We have so many specific requests to take to Him. We have perfect prayer. So if we miss anything by our understanding, God covers it by speaking in tongues. Now look at Psalm 18. We'll close here. Psalm 18, verse 18. "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also unto a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me." We have such a great privilege to be able to talk things over with God. God delivers us because He loves us. He delights in us. God doesn't deliver us because we're so good. God doesn't deliver us because we're so perfect. God delivers us because He delights in delivering us. He wants us delivered. He wants us to be free. And the thing that makes us free is God's Word. The thing that helps us the most is God's Word. And the people that help us the most are people who are rooted and grounded in love and rooted and grounded in God's Word, like you. So that's what I wanted to share. It's an expression of how great God is when we pray. Thanks, God, for Your love and kindness. Thank You, Father, for Your Word. Thanks for all You do for us and have done for us and will continue to do for us. We just want to keep You first in the things that we say and the things that we do and the things that we think, Father. I pray for our brains being solidified by You in Your Word. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, for each and every person here, again, for our health and strength and soundness of mind. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.